This morning on our Labor Day weekend, we're going to talk about something that is really close to the heart, purpose, mission of Heartland of the Lord. I want to start here. How we doing there, guys? I got a buzz here, but I'm not on the on this. That is, I got a buzz on this. Wanted to clarify that. Yeah. How we doing? Ready? All right. I charged it. Had a light. Again. All right. There it is. Now, I'm going to need a couple of these because I'm going to do this pretty rapidly here. So, wonderful is what we would, again, could, again, perhaps should. Yeah, that's rough when I don't have control, isn't it? Perhaps, again, hit that again for us. We should say about it, and what I'm talking about, hit it again there, is cell phone. We ought to, we probably could, should say that this is quite a wonderful device. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, beside phone calls, there is a whole bunch of stuff that you can do, much more than the phone. Right. Let's kind of list some of these that we can do besides the phone. Pardon me? Camera. All right. There's pictures. I did this really quick. I jotted down and I have to jot down. Actually, I got another card to keep jotting down. We can do some more things than that. What else? I mean, just look at this. You can see some.
You can tell Siri to make
calls
and stuff for us. Yep.
Okay. Reads a book to you. Excellent.
Play games.
That's big.
Directions?
Yeah, when you're traveling, it'll talk to you and tell you up here in so many feet, you get to turn right and then your old destination will be on. All right. What else? Sermons? Yeah. We can put sermons during COVID on live stream. That's great. All right. Good. What else?
And
Amazon? Sure. They're shopping. Big time shopping. Wow, there you go. So all kinds of shopping. There's banking. There's watching videos. There's text messaging. We didn't say that one. There's weather. Do you ever check that? Obviously, we do that. And then there's the report on security for your home. You can turn on lights. You can actually look through a security camera around your house on your phone. It's an interesting application that I had on this phone that when I would go up to the medical office door, I could pull up the app, do this, and it would unlock the door. And when I would get within range of it doing that, it would tell me, ding, you're in range to open the door. Absolutely amazing, some of the things that we can do. You're going to change this for me? Okay, well, you're going to have to advance me here then, so let's do that. All right. And all kinds of data search. Again, hit me again. As a matter of fact, this has been said to be so many things that you can do that it can be addicting. Have you ever walked up on a group of tables, of people at a table, and no one is talking because everyone is focused? It can be addicting. And indeed, it can be. You think we're good? All right. So we'll see here. Thank you. Whoops. Let me back this up here. There you go. It was too good. Here was an app that was interesting. This is an app for COVID, and it identifies potentials that you want to stay away from. How about that? Yeah, I don't know. Of course, I don't know how most of the apps work. Matter of fact, it's hard to tell how the phone works, right? So there's a lot. And of course, well, I'm going to stop there. Lots in regards to this. So have you ever had it happen, however, that all of these wonderful apps working like they should until you get disconnected? You ever have that happen? Dropped call. As a matter of fact, Friday, I texted Lita when I was up at the chapel taking care of some things. And oop, this is giving me a message right now, which I don't want to do. So, okay. I text her and then I left and she didn't text me back. And suddenly, as I'm driving home, I see her coming the other way. And I thought, why didn't she read my text? And so I got home, and lo and behold, it told me not delivered. And so I wondered strangely about that. And then I got some other texts around the house. And then I tried to make some calls. It was all the way to Saturday morning when I was attempting to make some additional calls that the calls failed and failed and failed. We've discovered that it was completely disconnected to Verizon. Can you imagine? Verizon is supposed to be everywhere. Used to happen a whole bunch. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? How about now? Hello? Are you there? Hello? Hello? Doesn't happen quite so much, but still, when it gets disconnected. This morning, we're going to take a look at John chapter 1, where the Lord talks to us about a promise on getting connected. A call that doesn't ever fail. It's a promise that our Lord communicates to us about connectivity, that it will never be unavailable. You know, sometimes, especially like between here and on the other side of Eaton, there's a spot right in Eaton where, yep, there you go. You know it. Not available. No, there's another place going to Portland where you can tell on the road. This is where, when Alita and I were out in the wilderness at Clifty Falls, it was unavailable. This is a place where it never becomes unavailable. John chapter 1 is what we're going to look at. It's part of our series of over-the-top promises of God, which have been absolutely massive. We started this on the day that the COVID quarantine started for us at chapel and had, of course, been all wide. We started this series. Soon we got it up on live stream. Then we made a slight adjustment as we've come back together to be looking at what Jesus said to us as over-the-top promises of God. It has huge benefits for us. What I want us to note this morning is the one that Jesus speaks to us directly. If you're with me, John chapter 1, I want you to slide down to verse 50, or you can get it up on your phone app if you're connected, to John chapter 1, verse 50, where Jesus is speaking with Nathanael, Bartholomew, one of his 12 apostles in the future. This is very early in his ministry, Jesus' ministry. And Jesus says this to him, verse 50. Jesus answered him, quote, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." It's a promise of the future. And he said to him, verse 51, truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus' formula for emphasis, when he wanted to highlight that this is a market down truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It's a promise that Jesus made. And I want you to notice something here. This is clear in my Bible. There's a footnote here. Do you have a footnote in verse 51 where Jesus says to Nathanael, I say to you? Is there a footnote on your you there? Usually it has, you know, that letter. Mine has a footnote. And even without the footnote, I was able to become aware of this, that the you there is a plural you. He's not talking like he is in verse 50, where he said to Nathanael, you will see, that's a singular you. But in verse 51, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, it's plural, and it's to all of the people here, all of the folks who were his disciples. You, plural, will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It's a promise. It's a promise concerning the disciples' advantage. As a matter of fact, this is an advantage that Jesus emphasized with a truly, truly statement to Nathanael and to all the disciples who had been gathered to that point and to the points that followed. This is a you, this is a for you and me promise. And the promise is permanent connectivity. That's the promise. The call will never fail. It will never be unable to connect, not delivered, dropped call. Hello? Hello? Can you hear me now? It's never going to be that. He makes this promise to us, and the promise has to do with the connection of heaven and earth. As a matter of fact, the connection is going to be very, very distinct concerning what's going on. Angels ascending and descending on the Son of God. There are two things that we find in this passage, because the passage is actually verses 35 through 51. And in that, we are going to see that there is stuff happening on earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of like a very rapid succession of events, day after day after day after day. Sometimes our walk with the Lord gets kind of routine, you know, is anything going to be happening? And then sometimes God is active and there is a active succession. Joanne Futrell used to say, the Lord is moving. That's what she would say when she would see God doing things in people's lives. Well, he's doing some things. That's the context here. And there are two points for us to get here. First of all, disciple making, its place and importance to Jesus. We're going to see that here at the very beginning of his earthly ministry. Its place and its importance to him. It's the disciples' advantage. And disciple makers, they have permanently in Jesus this provided for them. Those are the two things we're going to look at. Now, I wanted you to know that this promise and this context of the promise is the heartbeat at Heartland. I know our heartbeat at Heartland is an offbeat compared with a lot of places, but it's a heartbeat, though it's an offbeat, that is in tune with what we see here today. And that's where we want to be in tune. A three-rhythm heartbeat at Heartland, in tune with Jesus. Let's talk, first of all, about disciple-making and its place and importance to Jesus. You know, the Lord of the church ought to be in charge of the church. Do you agree with that? If you call me Lord, Lord, then Jesus, who is the anticipation, is that you do what he says. So, in this section, we're going to hear him promise, and we will see how connected to this promise is the importance and the place of disciple making. First of all, last week I pointed out that this record of Jesus' ministry was a series of days taking place. In John chapter 1, we see a precursor, John the Baptist, verse 19. And he's giving testimony to the future of what's going to be happening. There is going to be someone who stands among you who I'm not worthy to deal with. Then the next day after he says that, verse 29, he says right there, in live time, behold the Lamb of God. He's the one who takes away the sins of the world. That was day one of Jesus' ministry. It was his introduction and, if you would, his on-earth anointing as the Messiah. He is the Savior who takes away the sins of the world. And the anointing came when the Spirit descended upon him and stayed. And John told us about that. Now, verse 35, it's the next day, which is day two of Jesus' ministry. So in John chapter 1, verse 35, on day 2, the next day, John the Baptizer was standing with two of his disciples. Now, having disciples was not something that was new that Jesus introduced. We need to take a moment here and recall, what is a disciple? What's a disciple?
Apprentice.
Pardon me?
Apprentice.
Apprentice. Okay, good summary. A disciple is someone who is a learner, like an apprentice on a job. Learns the job, and they learn it not only in theory, like happens a lot in the kind of schools that we have structured here. You learn it in theory, but you also learn it in practice. So you get the teaching as well as the manner in which this is done. A disciple was a learner. As an apprentice of someone. Jesus did not introduce this method. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, had disciples. John the Baptizer, here in the New Testament, had disciples. Surely Jesus had disciples. People who were learners after him. The Apostle Paul had disciples. Now, I want you to see in this unfolding of events, on day two of Jesus' ministry, coming out to people, what happens? Begin with me on verse 36. And he, John the Baptizer, looked at Jesus as he walked by, and he said again, "Behold the Lamb of God. He's the Savior." The two disciples heard him saying this, and they followed Jesus. Now, this word followed becomes really kind of interesting because it means to get with someone as they travel. It's to become a travel companion with them, to accompany them. So he had these folks who began to travel with him. And Jesus was interested in this. Look at verse 38. Jesus turned and saw them following him, coming with him as he traveled. And he said to them, "What are you after? What are you doing? What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Teacher," rabbi, which means teacher, "where are you staying? Our interest is in you," because John the Baptizer just told us something about you. And he said to them, and this statement that he says is a direction he gives to them. He says, "Come." It's not like, "Would you like to come?" It's a direction. Come. Come, and you yourself will discern clearly about me, about where I'm staying. Point here that I want us to make. Being open to disciple making is big to him. It was on day two, just after his introduction, just after his on-earth anointing, appointment as the Messiah that John began to tell him about, he begins to build a D-band. And he begins to build a D-band of learners. He builds the D-band. Do you know what Christ did with his life? We know what he did in his death. What did he do in his death? What did Christ do in his death? Okay. He took away the sins of the world, right? He died for our sins. He paid the total penalty, the total penalty. The sins are gone. That's what he did in his death. What did he do in his life? From day one, after his introduction, starting on day two, when he began his ministry, he made disciples. And he did this in two ways. The first way is that he approved of these folks who were interested in being a disciple. They wanted to be a learner who was apprenticing after Jesus, not only his ideas, but his manner of life. He said to them, "Come." It was a direction. It was an imperative. Come, come. You're interested in this? He said, "Come, come. And see, you individually will discern what this is about as a disciple." First way is to be a disciple. Being open to disciple making in this first way, being a disciple. Jesus told them to come to this. And then second, here, the way he's doing it. So, verse 39, they came and they themselves saw what this was about, and they stayed with him there, and they were saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him there. The second way that Jesus is emphasizing to us here is that he was doing the disciple making. Two ways. Being a disciple of another person, of Christ, like the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Being a disciple, seeing what's going on in somebody's life, and imitating that. Are you open to that? Jesus approved this from day one. It was his building of a disciple band, seeing this. Let me ask you, person, I'm going to stop here for a moment. Have you ever had the experience of seeing another believer who was handling this area of life really well? And you individually took the initiative to learn from them, not only their thinking on this, but their manner of doing it. Have you ever done that? That is being a disciple, like Jesus pointed out, was big to him here. They were with him. With him. And they stayed. You know, this being with him thing, this thing of being open to discipling is involved a being with him. Spending time with him. Have you noticed that life has demands? Justin, have you noticed that there's any demands on your time? Stuff to do? I meet with Justin and he kind of talks with me about the wood that he's got piled in his backyard and the heater that he has to put in the house and the repairs that are, and then he has the kids and of course they're very compliant with what he needs to get done. Right? And you know, that's not just true for him. It's true for person after person after person because there's demands and responsibilities and there's this thing that keeps interrupting like going to work. Have you noticed that? Yeah, you got that. Yeah. It takes a few hours of our time. Yeah, there are demands and there are responsibilities and there are things. And in this, to be a disciple of Jesus by noticing what's going on in other people's lives and mimicking that. And this too. Then to do discipling. You know, for most of us, the biggest opportunity we will have of being a disciple maker, making disciples, will be with children, in our families. Because by God's design, there is time that they will be with you. A good amount of time. You know, isn't it interesting that God did not have us have children like dogs have puppies? Have you noticed that? I mean, you have a litter, right? There is a band of them to be given. No, he didn't have it. He kind of had it one, two, three. Okay, sometimes, you know, there are some fertility things, and there's a few more, but usually not more than that. It's really surprising.
And when you're younger,
she adds that too. That was a point that was made recently at the house too, okay? So these kids here, we have the investment of them to be with us. And it's not that we just feed them so they get bigger. That does happen. But that we bring them up. We bring them up in the nurture, the structure of life, and admonition, putting it into their minds, the manner and the theory of the Lord, that we bring them up. And we have that at greatest, the biggest discipling opportunity with the children, for them to be with us, and grandchildren for those who are in proximity where there's time, and nieces and nephews. These are some of the best. But it doesn't end there. Because though there was a lot of relation here that we're going to see in a moment, there's Andrew, who was one of those two disciples of John the Baptizer who turned and followed Jesus, and Jesus gave him approval to be a disciple. Come, he said, and you yourself will see what this involves. And John, who wrote the book, he was the other. But Andrew goes, well, notice what Andrew does here, beginning at verse number 40. One of the two who heard John speak, John the Baptist, and followed Jesus as a disciple, accompanying him on the road to be with him, was Andrew. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first, as a priority, found his brother and said to him, "We've found the Messiah, the anointed one, who's called Christ." And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, the son of John, and you shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. So there was the family thing that was going on. But it didn't end with family thing. It expands out further. Let me add a point here. Jesus called the 12 and he appointed them. Notice this highlighted thing, to be with him, to learn the manner of doing things, the nurture, the structure, as well as the admonition, the putting it into the mind of the Lord. Jesus did that by them being with him. Okay, we're frozen again, guys. Thank you. Now, advance this one more time. Andrew was opened to be and to do. To be a disciple of Jesus and to do it like Jesus had. Come and see. And he did. Andrew was open to this. Now, let me add another one here. Okay, why do I lose this? Do you know? Okay, here we go. Add this one. Next. Being intentional about disciple making. First of all, it's being open to it in two ways, being a disciple and doing this, especially with children, but not confined there, and being intentional about disciple making. I want you to look now with me at verse 43. The next day, this is now the third day of Jesus' ministry. The first day he was introduced. The second day he begins disciple building with Andrew and John. And then he adds Peter by someone being willing to do this like Jesus was doing and to be his disciple. And on day 3, verse 43, the next day Jesus purposed Jesus intended. He made the decision to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." This is the same statement. He said to him, "Travel this road as my companion. Follow me." Now, Jesus is being intentional here about disciple making. And it wasn't merely with his own family or the family of some of those who were involved, but family was big here. Jesus intentionally goes and finds Philip. Now, being intentional is recently in a disciple-making group, we were talking about the importance of not letting life just happen to you. That you intentionally go after being a disciple, a learner from the Lord through people, and doing discipling, that you do it intentionally with some folks, challenging them to be in discipleship. That's what Jesus was doing. Hey, have you ever heard of a thing called the Great Commission? What is the Great? Well, let me ask you this first. What's a commission? If somebody has, here's your commission, what is that? Okay, if you're in the military, it's your assignment, it's your duty, it's your responsibility. This is our mission, the Great Commission, the Great Mission that, well, who gave the Great Commission anyway? Jesus did. And what is it? What is the Great Commission? What does it tell us? Go make disciples. Make people who are learners. Go make people who are learners after Jesus, not only of his ideas, but also of his manner of handling life. Great opportunity in the family. Great opportunity. As a matter of fact, the biggest challenge for parents is not to make sure they're provided for, though that's a challenge in our day and age. It has been in every day and age. But to bring them up in the nurture, the structured order, and the discipline of the Lord. The Great Commission is to make disciples, but not ending with the family. Who did he say? Go therefore make disciples of who? Of all the nations, all the people. That means those who have different skin color than us, and those who have different languages than us, and those who don't have the same culture as us, and they see the stuff that we do, and it's kind of like weird compared to, you go and you make learners of all the people. And that's our commission. And that's to be intentional. And we just don't let life happen to us. We do this intentionally, starting with the family because it's the greatest opportunity, but not ending there, being sure that we touch others, other lives, other nations, other peoples with this. Do I hear any amens here? This is where we are to live because of the place and importance to Jesus of disciple making. That's why we live here. This thing is rattling, buzzing again in my hand, but I'm not going anywhere. Matthew chapter 28 and 29. Okay, advance me again, please. Now, a final point is that being definite in what disciple making does. Go ahead and hit this again because I want to move it up. There you go. Thank you. disciple making. Now this is where Heartland has an off beat. Okay? This is where Heartland is. Yeah, here you go. Thank you. This is where Heartland kind of based on the place that Jesus gave disciple making, becomes very definitive. So you've heard of the Heartland heartbeat, that it's kind of an offbeat thing. It's not a boom, boom, like a heartbeat is. It's kind of like a boom, boom, boom. And it's kind of like an offbeat kind of, you know, heart. Do this heartbeat with me. Boom, boom. Come on, you can do this. Do this. Boom, boom. Right? Boom. I'm not hearing it very well. Boom, boom. Come on, you're not feeling it. Feeling it with me, okay? Boom, boom. Boom, boom. There you go. Boom, boom. But now Heartland has this thing. It's got this boom, 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 boom. Arrhythmia? We've had arrhythmia in our family, okay? So, yeah. But the arrhythmia has to do with, what is the Heartland heartbeat? It's connecting, right? Connecting to God and other people. Okay, the second one. What is the second one of this heartbeat? It's changing into Christ-like. Boy, do we need this message. It's changing into Christ-likeness. This is the heartbeat of Heartland, and it's an offbeat rhythm. It's this. It's connecting to Christ and others. It's changing into Christ-likeness. It's carrying on Christ's work of service, and it isn't here to build some great kingdom. It is here to touch people's lives so that they are connecting to God and others. They are having change in their life into Christ's likeness, and they're carrying on this work of service. And that is what's shown in this passage over and over. The two disciples, John and Andrew, and Jesus gives approval to be disciples and to now start doing the disciple making. And there's Philip, who he intentionally goes and gets, and he talks to Peter. Well, look how he talks to Peter down at verse number 42. When he's talking to Peter, who Andrew was wanting to do this discipling thing, he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are Simon, the son of John, and you shall be called Rock," meaning Peter, Rock. And you know, Peter was anything but a rock. He was kind of like, whoa, really? And Jesus said to him, he was going to be changed into a rock, and he nicknamed him that from the start. You're going to be the rock. And, of course, Peter became a very influential rock of the built on the rock, who is Christ. He became that, and carrying on Christ's work of service. Look with me at verse number 41, how this work of service gets carried on. Simon was found by Andrew. And then look at with me at verse number 45. And Philip, after Jesus called him to follow him as a disciple, Philip found Nathanael, and Nathanael said to him, found Nathanael, and he said to Nathanael, "We found him of whom Moses and the law and prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Same thing Jesus had said, come and see, you check it out." And then when Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him as Philip had gotten him, carrying on Christ's work of service, Jesus says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael says to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "Before Philip called you under the fig tree, I saw you." Carrying on Christ's work of service. You know, this is all over in the scriptures. This is what a disciple is. It's definitive of what discipling is, helping people to connect to God and others by you doing it, you offering it, changing into Christ-likeness, recognizing what needs to change to be more like Him, and carrying on and on and on this work of service. Now, conclusion-wise, disciple makers then have permanently in Jesus a connectivity, a personal connecting, like with Simon that we just saw. Jesus knew him personally. This is your name. This is what you're going to be. Like with Nathanael, how do you know me? He said, there is a personal connecting from this Lord. Nathanael was told, before you were called by Philip, I saw you. Nathanael answered, Teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said to him, because I said this to you, do you believe? You, Nathanael, will see greater things. It's personal connecting. There is an angelic connecting. Here's the greater things. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending. Have you ever seen that? Heavens open, angels of God ascending and descending. Can I tell you this? If you see it, you will be unawares of it, Hebrews tells us. Angels are ministers of God to us for good. Situations and times where you walk in and things are just like, whoa. It's challenging situations and there is an encouragement of heart that comes, angelic strengthening. This is going on. Jesus said, you will discern this clearly. This going on. It's happening. Angels of God stepping up to heaven and stepping down. And here's how assured that it's going on. Whoa, that happened quick. There we go. Here's how it's assured, because it's happening on the Son of Man. Angels of God ascending, stepping up to heaven, and then stepping down on ministry through the Son of Man. It's a connection that doesn't drop. It's an ongoing connection. Stepping up and stepping down. In Genesis chapter 28, God gave a picture of this happening with Jacob, who there was a connection between heaven and there was a ladder and there were angels going up and down and they were ministering and they were taking care of things. For us, this happens unawares. But they're ministering spirits sent to aid those who are inheriting salvation to those who are saved. And it's a permanent connection. Final. Where are you on disciple making? Are you open to this? Are you intentional? Definite. That I'm looking to connect people to God and to others. I'm looking at aiding and assisting their growth into maturity, Christ-likeness. I'm definite in carrying this on, work of ministry. there's connection here, personal, angelic, divine, unchangeable. It's your advantage. Because Jesus said this in the Great Commission, "And lo, I am with you always, to the end of this age." It's definite connection.